Yes, I'm joined by Judy Sharp, our wonderful, what do you call, the gardening guru? Or gardening goddess?
I think sometimes Mark finds a different name for me every week.
Oh, that's it. It's an hour of gardening greatness.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mark, if you're listening. I got it wrong again. Yeah, it can't be right all the time. Now, we've got an email to answer today. What else are we going to talk about?
I thought we might talk about house plants and native plants. And I want to mention my young butcher, if I can.
Your young butcher?
Yeah.
Oh, you can mention your young butcher if you like, okay.
Well, it's his garden I'm
going
to
go. Oh, okay. This isn't a dating show, okay. All right, Judy, you're in hot demand already. We've got three callers just lined up, so we're going to start with John from Cardiff. Hi, John, how can we help you?
Hello, John.
Hello, I've got succulents and they need brightening up a bit. I was just wondering what sort of fertiliser you use on them.
Oh, righto, John. Are you able to get Flourish at all?
What is it, Flourish?
Flourish with an F.
Well, I've never seen it, no.
Okay, well, it's one that's specialised in all different plants.
Right.
But, you know, succulents are pretty tough, darling, so, you know, you could probably put any slow release on them.
Right.
Just some Osmocote, even.
There used to be something called Thrive. You mixed it with water. Would that be any good?
Oh, yes. You can still get Thrive.
So that'd be okay?
That'd be fine.
Right. I thought it might have burned them or something like that.
No. It's virtually a fairly instant one, but don't mix it up too strong, will you?
Right.
Okay.
They're only little succulents. I've had them for a while. They just need a bit of brightening up.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would not need brightening up after this winter too. Poor little things. You go out and they're just, they're wet.
What was the first one you said? Flourish, was it?
Flourish, yes. It's a great brand and you can get it for individual plants. That's why I was thinking with your succulents.
All right. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, John. Good luck with that. Let us know how you get on.
I will. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Bye. And we've got Richard from Curry Curry on the line. Thanks for holding, Richard. You want to follow up from last week?
Yeah, about the remember Mark rang from Curry and he had the weed on his footpath?
Oh, yes, of course.
Rang, yeah. The stuff my mate gave, sprayed it was called Grazon, Grazon.
Grazon, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's used on farms and it only kills the weed. It doesn't actually kill the grass itself or anything like that. And on a farm, it says that the cattle and horses can graze on it the next day. So,
that's interesting, yeah. Richard, isn't it?
Yeah. So, graze on.
Grazon. Right, yeah. For all our listeners out there. It's probably they'd have to go to a
produce shop,
or a bulk supply.
Or you can get it on the internet, I suppose, too, if you want to do it that way, yeah.
Yeah, you probably could, but, Curry, he'd be going to one of the produce shops.
Yeah, that's right, you'd be better to go. Yeah, of course you would be getting it off the internet, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, look, thank you, Richard.
No worries.
I was a bit anxious about that, you know, because we had a lot of people ringing up about it, but then I wasn't sure. You've got to use something safe.
Yeah, well, sounds like this stuff is if horses and cattle can eat on it the next day and stuff like that. Yeah.
So. That might mean you've got to keep the horses and cattle off for a day, do you think?
For a day, yeah, but I suppose we don't have anybody on the footpath around here anyway.
Really, Richard? I thought in Curry you would have.
Well, thank you for the call, Richard. We appreciate it.
Okay, all right.
Okay, bye. And next we've got Bob. Bob's got a follow-up call as well. Hi, Bob. How can we help you?
Yeah, Judy, you talked about the weeds in the lawn and everything the other day.
Yeah.
And I was told, a lawn bloke was told me to use Javelin.
What is it?
J-A-V-E-L-I-N.
Javelin.
Yeah.
J-A-V-E-L-I-N. E-L-I-N. Javelin. Oh, that sounds like another produce store, doesn't it?
Yeah, I got it from a place over at Gateshead, Bennett's Green, in behind the Mercedes-Benz dealer in there.
Oh, yes, I've been there, yes. Oh, that's good advice. So you got it and it worked for you, Bob.
Yeah, I got about a 15-litre jar of it. I made sure I got enough.
And what does that get rid of?
It gets rid of weeds in the...
all the broadleaf weeds and everything in the lawn.
In the lawn. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Full of information today. Thank you, Bob.
We're all a college of knowledge, aren't we?
You are.
I think some of you gentlemen could come on and do the program.
Yeah, we'd have to embellish it a little bit, but.
Which we try and do, Bob.
We do. We do. Well, thank you for the call, Bob. We appreciate it.
Okay, take care.
No problems. And we've got Barbara from Wyoming on the line. Hi, Barbara.
Hello, Barbara. How are you today?
What can I help you with, dear?
I have got a peace lily, which I've had for a couple of years. It was flowering. Now it's just the leaves were going black.
Right.
So I read up about it, said it's overwatered. I do not water it very often. So I feared maybe it's holding the moisture in the bottom, which I have put it there. So I've just tipped it all out, put new potting mix in and divided it up because there was a corm in the middle that kept getting mildew. So I broke off the good parts from that corm and I've got four pieces I've transplanted.
And are they healthy? Are they happy?
Well, I've only just done them the last hour and a half. So I don't know if I've done the right thing by getting rid of the corm that was getting mildew and putting new potting mix and I put four little pieces in.
Sorry, Barbara, to interrupt you. You have done the right thing. At the moment, mine in the bathroom, it's very droopy, but it's because it's got too many shoots in the pot. So I need to, cut mine up and divide it as well.
Because they like to be cramped, I believe. I've got some outside my back door that I never touch, and they're nearly 3 feet high by 4 foot wide.
Oh, that's good.
And they're just growing. They're just growing, and they multiply and multiply.
Oh, but Barbara, are they in the garden?
They're in the garden,
right, okay. So they're not restricted.
No.
Well, I think in a pot it's different, as you'll find out. But, look, they'll be happy now you've done that, I'm pretty sure, even if you give them a little bit of slow-release fertiliser.
Yes, I will. Yes, I'll do that. Okay. Yeah.
Good.
Okay, fine.
Well, ring us back and let us know.
I wasn't sure if I did the right thing.
Of course you did.
Sick of looking at dead leaves.
I know the feeling.
Yes, okay. Well, thank you so much for verifying that for me. Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, bye. Have a good day.
You too, bye. Now, before we get to your many calls, Judy, you had an email from a lovely gentleman. Would you like to tell us about it?
Yes, certainly. And he is a lovely gentleman, David Phillips. And his wife is having some work done in hospital and she wanted the azaleas repotted while she wasn't there or treated. So he's asked a few questions and I've got some answers for you, David. I hope you're listening today. I would not do the cutting until the flowering is finished. He was asking, would he prune off all the flowers? I wouldn't do that, David, till the flowering's finished. And he also asked about if he cut the roots. Now, azaleas can be little testy little creatures. So honestly, David, I wouldn't cut the roots. And how about just putting them in a larger pot? Because they are in a pot, Amanda.
Right.
But he's got rocks and everything under it, so it's a bit more complex than that. But I would think about a larger pot, David. And the other question he asked me, should he leave it alone and perhaps find a green thumb gardener? David, I think you're on the right track because when your wife comes out of hospital, she won't be happy with what you were going to do. So no pruning off the flowers and don't cut the roots. Just put it in a larger pot if you'd like to, but I think they're grown in through the ground.
Right.
So it might be a bit complicated.
Okay.
Otherwise, perhaps find a green thumb gardener.
Yeah. Or if you have any more questions, David, give us a call, 49216216, and hopefully Judy can help you out. We've got the picture so we know what you're talking about. Now, we've got Andy on the line from Glendale. Hi, Andy. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Andy. What can I help you with?
Yeah, look, I've got half a dozen lily pillies.
Yeah.
They're probably 3 metres high. They were very healthy. But now there's something eating the new growth, the tips, and it's actually decimating them.
Right.
They look like they're dying from the top down now.
Right, okay. So you can't see any... Have you dug around the roots to check in there?
Oh, I've had a bit of a look. I can't see anything. I tried spraying, but yeah, to no avail.
It's right.
Always on the new growth.
Yeah, well, you've got psyllids.
Okay.
So what we need, something like... I would try doing Malathon and white oil.
Okay. Yeah, I tried a type of neem, and it didn't help either.
What was it, sorry?
Neem, N-E-E-M.
Oh, neem oil.
Yes.
Oh, right, okay, and that's fairly expensive little creature, isn't it?
Yeah, it didn't work anyway. Yeah.
Okay, so let's go for the Malathon and the white oil.
Okay, all right. What is it, just some bug eating the new growth, is it?
Yeah, that's what it is. It's a little psyllid.
Wow, they've gone berserk on like three of them. They look like they're dying from the tops down.
Well, that can happen, you know. I've got one in a pot and it suffers from it a little bit, but I just keep the spray up to it.
All right, I'll try a bit of white oil, I think. I'll give that a whirl.
Good luck with that, Andy.
You better add the Malathon, Andy.
Malathon, you reckon? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'll give that a whirl and I'll let you know.
Okay.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks. Bye. Bye. Okay, next we've got Paul from Birmingham Gardens on the line.
Hello, Paul. What can I help you with today?
G'day, Judy. I rang a couple of weeks ago, but I was too late, so I'm just ringing back today.
Right.
About the avocado setting fruit.
Yes, yeah.
And, I just wanted to give my 2 cents worth of my tips to help the fruit set was, I saw a small segment on Gardening Australia a couple of years ago about fruit set. And, all I do, because I've got a reed avocado and I have it in the chook yard, and so it gets plenty of fresh chicken manure.
Right.
But when the flowers come out, that's the time that I put a sprinkler on. When the flowers have been out for a day...
Right, you leave the sprinkler on underneath it, don't you?
Yeah, just on a fine mist.
Right,
For a couple of hours in the evening. And until the water drips off the flowers.
Right, okay.
And because the flowers change sex from male to female, or female to male, I don't know which order.
We talked about that actually, Paul.
did you?
Yeah, but you know, people laugh at it, really. They don't really believe Amanda and I. But they do change sex, don't they? That's what happens.
And that's what sets the fruit. So, after a day of the flowers first opening, you've just got to be a bit observant, I suppose, as with all gardeners, and notice when the flowers first come out, and then put the sprinkler on for a couple of hours underneath, you know, on the first day and then the second day. And then just until the water drips off the flowers so they sort of mix and, you know, what males and females do.
Yeah.
And set fruit.
Yeah. Oh, Paul,
and
that's
then,
wonderful.
I just fertilise with half a bag of blood and bone underneath the tree. Be a bit generous with it. And because that's a slow-release fertiliser, it usually doesn't affect the fruit set. And... apart from keeping the tree sort of low down so that it's all reachable, I don't really do much more.
Oh, I think it's very interesting about the sprinkler. I have heard that. But, you know, avocados sometimes can be tetchy little creatures.
Yes.
You probably were listening when I said we have one at the nursery at Merriweather. And it was cut off its head after a little while, after many, many years. So, Paul, thank you.
What variety was that?
Oh, look, I can't remember because, to be honest, the nursery had been there 100 years. And when we went there 50 years prior the avocado was there already growing and we did not have a clue because it never fruited.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but
wow.
It got its head chopped off. But, Paul, thank you very much for the call today. I do appreciate you ringing about that sprinkler because I know that it does help.
Yes, I've never heard of reed avocados before, and I got given one when I was working at the Mater. I got given one by a colleague, and her mother lived in Mayfield. And I just planted the seed, and that was about 10 years ago. And,
Well, there you
I
go.
Got fruit for the first time about maybe 3 years ago.
Fantastic.
And, I've had a couple of bumper years where I did a horticulture course at Curry TAFE and was taking bucketfuls of avocados into there to give away.
Paul, do you know where the station here is at the university?
Yes.
Well, you can always drop the avocados off to Amanda and I if you'd like.
Okay. Well, I think reed avocados are the best because when they're ripe, the seed rattles on the inside.
Yeah, right.
And
okay.
They're like a big softball. They're completely round. They're not elongated normal avocados.
Well, there you go. You're an expert. And you could do a talk on avocados.
I'm mainly into bromeliads.
Oh, well, there you go.
Well,
you're doing well. Thank you so much for the call, Paul. We really appreciate it.
No worries.
No worries. Bye. You have a good day. Bye. And just quickly, Judy, we've had a call from Gary. And he was just saying that he's giving a warning about Grazon. It says it'll drift and kill plants, so it should only be used on farms. You need to ensure it is not made up too strong. And he's working out on the tractor today. Thank you so much for calling, Gary. We appreciate it. And, I got another one. A traffic incident. There's a problem at Windale by the sounds of it, South Street. Caller advising there's a large truck blocking the road and police are now on scene. Okay, so if you're in the Windale area, avoid that area. And we've got Alan on the line. Thank you for holding, Alan. You're from Madawi. What can we do for you?
Well, we just wanted to know because we got these two pumpkin plants and they're probably about 15 or 20 feet long now. But we've found that there's no bees around anywhere. So could you tell me, I was of the understanding that the government apparently brought in the bumblebees from overseas and that wiped out our bees here. But there's none on the flower, so they can't grow, of course, if there's no flower.
So have you got flowers? Alan, have you got flowers on there?
Yeah, we've had flowers on, but they just come on and then they just drop off and nothing happens.
Right, okay. Are you able to, sometimes you can cross-pollinate them yourself?
Yeah, could try that.
You could try that, yeah. I mean, you don't have to be very clever to do it. You know, just get a couple.
I'm not.
No, well, I had a friend many years ago. Unfortunately, he's no longer with us. But he cross-pollinated poppies every year, and they got up before the sun came up. They actually got up before the sun came up and cross-pollinated them to keep the colours. So I'm wondering if you could try and do that, seeing there's no bees around.
Yeah, we just couldn't understand, because not only here in Madawi, but also Raymond Terrace and a few other places, there doesn't seem to be any bees around. And, of course, if you haven't got bees, you can't pollinate the flower.
No, that is true. That is true. But it's a common problem at the moment. Remember, the bees got a disease.
A varroa mite.
Yeah. Mm. So, you know, we did lose a lot of bees, but I believe that where you purchase them from, they are snowed under. They can't keep the supply up to replace them.
Yeah, because we were told that they brought the bumblebees over from England for some reason, and they apparently killed all the natural bees out that's here.
Oh, really?
Oh, don't know about that one.
No.
So I'll have to look into that one.
Yeah,
because as far as we know, we know the government brought the bumblebees over, but anyway, why, I don't know. But
still.
Yeah.
That's the government for you.
I wasn't going to comment on that, Alan. I was going to say, well, there are a lot of other problems that they create, aren't there? Anyway, we'll leave that alone today, and thank you very much for the call, Alan.
No, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Any time I could think it's up and out because I'm hopeless gardener anyway.
Well, good luck. Good luck with it, Alan. You take care.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Bye. Next, we've got Russell from Morpeth. Hi, Russell.
Hello, Russell. What can I help you with today?
I bought a rosemary plant and I want to know how to fertilise it and look after it, please.
Oh, right, okay. Do you have a product called Osmocote or any Thrive?
No, I don't have anything.
Oh, right,
I got some chook poo, that's all.
Oh, no, I wouldn't use the chicken manure. Just go out and buy some Thrive and you know, that should do the job for you. Put it on in the water on a regular basis.
Oh, righto.
Is that good. That a good suggestion?
Yeah, it's grown a little bit. I put it in a bigger pot. It's grown a little bit. I don't know if it's a summer sort of a plant, is it, Judy?
Yeah, but is it in the sun, Russell?
Yeah, it's in full sun, but we've been a bit short of sun lately, Judy.
You're not wrong.
Ask me solar panels. There's none there.
No, you are right, and it's just a cloudy day again today, isn't it? Boring.
Yeah. Yeah, but when the summer comes, I've got a lot of big trees in the yard, but when the summer comes, it'll be really hot because it's against the garage wall.
Oh, right, okay. Well, just, you know, get your Thrive or some Osmocote and keep that up to it. But, you know, rosemary are pretty tough creatures. You know, they grow over in the rocks overseas and here as well.
Well, I haven't got very good soil here, Judy. I want to put it in the ground eventually, but very poor soil. Will it take that or what?
Oh, yes, Russell, it will. No, it will. Morpeth, no, you grow it there in the ground.
Yeah, good.
Yep, maybe it's just waiting for a little move, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Look, good luck with that, Russell.
Thank you.
Thanks,
you,
Russell.
Dear.
Bye. Newcastle Hunters 2NURFM 103.7. This is Gardening Talk Back with Judy Sharve. Judy, you wanted to talk about your butcher boy.
You cheeky girl, Amanda. Look, my favourite young butcher, and he asked my advice about two grafted citrus he had. And he showed me a photo. They were in a pot and they're in the shade.
Right.
Yeah, not good for citrus.
No.
No, they definitely want to be out in the sun. And I just wanted to say it was great to have a discussion with that young man because it's not many young people who get that interested in gardening today, so much more in their lives. So he was a bit concerned about what he should do with those citrus. So I recommended that they were dwarf, and I recommended he, if he's concerned about planting, they need to go out in the sun for starters, and they need to go in a good potting mix or a good soil mix.
Like what?
Oh, well, you know, there's plenty of brands out there, but I didn't want him to use poultry manure.
Okay.
Because they're too little. And you use poultry manure after they've been established for a little while. But I definitely told him he has to plant them in the sun and and dig good-sized holes. No fertiliser. Definitely no fertiliser at the moment to my young butcher.
Excellent. All right. And we've got Rob from New Lambton on the line.
Hello, Rob. What can I help you with today?
Hello, Judy. Thanks for taking my call. Just a query. I listened to you last week and you're saying start getting ready to prep your tomato beds. Well, I've gone down to do that and I've got about five plants that are already 4 inches tall. Will they come good or not?
Oh, yes. Were they out of the last year's crop?
Yeah. It's just what's fallen, just exactly what's fallen, in the off-season.
Yeah.
And I went down and I thought, I'll go and dig some fertiliser in, like you said. And it nearly blew me away. I thought, God, look at this. And they're healthy, yes.
Well, there you go. Saves you buying some new plants, doesn't it, Rob?
I just leave them or?
Oh, yeah. They'll be happy. They'll produce,
well,
don't
there's
worry.
Already, there's already buds on them ready to flower.
Oh, well done. Well done. It's a wonder, isn't it?
Absolute jag, Judy. Absolute jag. So I thought Judy's going to tell me to pull those out and start again, but no, you don't think
so? No. Just, you know, give them the fertiliser when it's time.
I've done that, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Right, okay, yeah.
I've put some slow release on as well, so.
Right, okay. Well, don't overdo it. You know,
yeah,
don't,
okay.
Don't
yeah,
make them right, work then. Too hard.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Rob, give us
thanks
a ring when they
the
fruit. Okay, bye.
Yeah, I will. Okay, cheers. Bye.
Thanks. Bye. Oh, dear. That's good, actually, isn't it? It's
yeah.
It's nice to go check on your tomatoes and look, there they are.
New ones growing, yeah.
That's it. Now, Judy, you are going to talk about houseplants today.
Oh, I was going to talk about houseplants, but we're nearly running out of time.
That's all right. We've got time for you, Judy.
Oh, just drop
don't,
all the
don't
commercials.
Worry about the news. Don't worry about anything. We just want to listen to you and you can talk about houseplants and natives.
Okay. At the moment, it's time to look after houseplants because hardleaf plants, pardon me, such as Ficus lyrata, commonly known as, you know, fiddle leaf fig.
Oh, yeah, I knew that.
Yeah, of course. Well, they've got really big leaves and so they get dusty.
Right.
So at the moment, it's a good time to spray white oil onto a cloth on any broad leaf, like the lady rang today about the Madonna lilies. You can wipe those off with it too.
So you're using white oil to kind of dust a leaf.
Yeah.
You don't just get out the duster? Isn't that a cheaper option? Just get out the duster? It doesn't work?
No,
okay.
You know, you knew I was going to say no, Amanda. But you know what it does? It not only cleans them, but it adds a shine.
Ah.
And the white oil prevents insect attack.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Mm. So do you think now we should use white oil or just use the water?
I think we should use white oil.
You are learning. But I don't know what's happening with that little orchid of yours.
No, my orchid's still as it was. I bought the orchid mix. It's sitting out the back and I'm just thinking about repotting that orchid.
I keep volunteering, bring it in.
I'll tell you what, I promise you I will do it before next Monday.
Okay.
And then I'll bring it in and I'll show you.
Well, I might be here next Monday.
You will, surely. All right, so you were also going to talk about native plants.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, I'm a bit short of breath today. I think we've had to talk too much. Talk too much. Look, natives are beginning to flower now in the late winter. Wattles. Have you noticed any of them starting to flower? They always flower at this time of year.
Do they?
Yeah.
I'll see, but I'm not very observant, so I haven't noticed anything.
And the other one that's about to burst into colour is Geraldton Wax. Now, that's from Western Australia.
Right.
And it's a very hardy shrub with very fine, like, needles, but flowers beautifully. It'll start very soon.
Right. It sounds like something that will come out of a jar, Geraldton Wax.
No.
So it's a flower.
They come from Western Australia.
Okay.
But, you know, they're very hardy, Amanda.
Yeah.
Many years ago, I'm trying to think, one of the big storms, a Pasha Bulka or something, we had a beautiful one in the front yard at Hamilton South, and when we got up in the morning, it was dead.
Oh, no.
There was so much water at that time, you know, and it just got flooded. But it died like that, gone. So there are plants that you don't even have to keep a lot of water up till.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd mention that.
Actually, I had a plant, I had a pot plant that died during the Pasha Bulka storm. I left it with my family to look after because I moved to Melbourne and it was the only plant that I'd ever kept alive and it died.
It's amazing, isn't it? Some don't like a lot of water and some do.
No, they don't.
Yeah. Hard to know which decision to make sometimes.
I know, it really is. It really is. Oh, so I've learned a lot today. Okay, white oil on the plant's leaves to
clean them, clean them and then it prevents insects.
The bugs and avocados. You put your lemon juice on them. We learnt that from last week.
We did.
So to keep them for longer in the fridge.
Yep.
And
but also we learnt today from that gentleman about the reed and the leaves changing sex.
Yeah. Okay. So we're learning a lot. Yeah.
Nah.
Not planning a lot, but I'm learning a lot. Thank you very much. We'll catch up with you next week, Judy.
Thanks, Amanda. Have fun.
Thanks.